Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Giving you positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narratives. And of course, we are the authentic source of Nigerian information. All right, 6 o'clock Nigeria time here. And time for Real Talk with Lola. And of course, you know Lola is a Nigerian-based South African psychologist. And every week she brings a very, very interesting guest to discuss a very, very interesting topic on Real Talk with Lola. Lola, are you ready? Fine, thank you. All right, the floor is yours. Take it over from me now.
A positive mindset, and most especially to bring about behavioral modification via media. And I'm hoping that, I mean, we've been able to do a lot these few months. On this edition of Real Talk with Lola, I made it a special edition for the men, because I've realized that we do a lot of talking and we leave men out of it. We just leave them in the background. And like I said, I'm going to look at the men in all their glory. We're looking at men in all their glory this month. And to kick off this particular topic, I have a very good friend of mine by name Jerome Onipede. He is a relationship and marriage expert. And he's going to be taking us, I will call it the unspoken words that we just never talk about in marriages, in relationships, that has to do with men generally. Hi, Jerome, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm very, very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, and thank you. I mean, I know. Sorry? Hello?
I can hear you loud and clear. I said I'm very excited to be here myself, and I'm grateful that I could be part of this program, and I hope to be part of it over and over as many times as you want me around. So thanks for inviting me.
That's really very welcoming. The fact that, how will I put it? I think we've come a long way, but I think we lost touch at one point in time. It's very good to connect all over again. So, Jerome, before we dive in straight into the program and everything, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, basically, my name is Jerome Yaudi Onipede. Yeah, and I'm a relationship and marriage consultant. I think I've been around for a while, basically, when it comes to the area of relationships and the area of marriage. I think I've done a bit in that area. So you have quite a number of people that actually know or identify with the brand. I've been with my wife, Lorenta, for 35 years. And we're not just together for nothing, you know. But being together, there's so much that we know and that we're teaching the world out there today. And so basically, I'm here again, you know, to I guess help out in a few areas where a lot of people might be confused when it comes to their marriages or relationships, especially when it comes to the aspect of men. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we don't understand this man. We don't get this man. And I try my best, the best way I can, to help you understand men, you know, so that at least it can help in so many ways. A lot of women today might find soccer in, I mean, listening to this program and find a lot of, you can say, a lot of resources to use to make their marriages become better and their relationship with their husband even much more. So that's basically Jerome in a nutshell. Yeah.
Okay. I've actually decided to sit tight because even me, I think today is going to be a learning curve for me. So I'm sitting tight. I'm going to be keeping quiet most of the time. So, yeah. Okay, so let's kick it through. You see, I've realized that, I mean, over time, if you look at it, men have the urge to resist marriage most of the time. Sorry, let me just stand through with that background noise.
Mm-hmm. I think the background noise may be coming from the fact that you have more devices, you know, going on the same show.
Okay, no, I think we're good to go now. Yeah. Alrighty. So as I was saying, yeah, it's better. As I was saying, as a psychologist, okay, and with studies, with research, I mean, we've realized that men actually resist the urge to get married, even though, I mean, it's been proven that they gain more from being married. In the instance that you see, they most importantly, men are actually healthier when they are married. You understand? But because of the nature of men, which is they are slow to commit, you understand, and they just do not want to take that risk. So you find that men do not commit to marriage very easily when they are in a relationship. You understand? They don't shift from their comfort zone very easily. I use the word that at times they need to be pushed to the next step. So you being an expert in this field, and I mean, I'm very sure you must have seen a lot of this. You understand? What is the attitude of men generally and marriage?
Talking about the attitude of men and marriage, I would say that, first of all, I agree with you in the fact that you just said that men actually have a lot to gain in marriage. That's very true. That's completely true. Men have more to gain in marriage, you know, than they ever know from the very beginning. But the reason is that men do not probably don't think much about marriage. I mean, we can look at a few reasons here. The first major one is the upbringing of a man. You know, it's not the same as the way a woman is brought up. You know, from the very beginning, for a woman, for a girl in the house, the mother is already letting her know, you know, when you get married, you know, you're going to take care of your husband like this. When you get married, you're going to do this. When you get married, you're going to understand that you will have in-laws and this is what you must do. So in the mind of that lady, as many times as she hears, when you get married, when you get married, when you get married, it goes into her system that she's actually looking forward to it. She wants to get married. She sincerely wants to get married, you know? And, she actually also believes that it is automatic, that it is going to automatically happen. That when that time comes, that guy is just going to come. They're going to become friends and then they're just going to get married. That's what she thinks, you know? But to her greatest shock and surprise, she meets this guy, she meets the next guy and they meet the next guy. And these guys are so good when it comes to, you know, relationships, when they're just, in a relationship. But when the idea of marriage starts to come in, you find out that the man himself becomes a bit uncomfortable. He's not as relaxed as he was when he realized a relationship. It becomes a bit intense for him to start begin to think about it this way, that, look, I'm going to get married soon. So I'm going to be getting married. He's wondering, married, what am I going to be doing in marriage? What will I do with marriage, you know? Do we really, really need to get married? Sweetheart, is this relationship not good enough for you? You know, I mean, what else do we need that we don't have right now? What are we going to look for in marriage? Now, he's a bit apprehensive because in fairness to him, he was not brought up like his sister. He was not brought up like his female cousin because nobody told him, okay, when you get married to your wife, You have to learn to, you have to understand that women are like this. So this is what you must do. Buddy, when you get married to your wife, Emeka, when you get married to your wife, he doesn't hear any of those things. He never does. You know, he's not heard it before. And nobody has put pressure on him even concerning that. Maybe the only person that might put pressure, which might be later, might be his grandmother. And that's when he has to visit home or go into his village. And the grandmother comes in a nice way to say, we haven't seen your girl, oh, you know, and all of that. But apart from that, apart from his mother, who once in a while might say, bring somebody home, you know, and let us know the person and we will support you. Apart from that, he rarely hears it. So he is not prepared for it emotionally. He's not prepared. He's not necessarily prepared for it psychologically. He's not really prepared for it like you would expect a girl to be prepared for it, you know. So the girl is prepared for it, but the boy is not prepared for it. So when the boys become men, they're still not very prepared for it. That's why when I find men who actually go all the way out to get married, I actually what's the word? I respect them. They earn my respect. You know, when I see men who sincerely, genuinely want to get married and they go all out to get married, I really, really have a lot of respect for them, because they probably have been able to work on themselves, and they have also become people who, at the end of the day, realize that there has to be something in this marriage for me. Though we have different personalities as well, you know, when it comes to men, we have different personalities of men and the way they also view marriage. And that would be my second point. But first of all, maybe that first point is noted, where I say that a lot of these men, you know, are not really prepared while they were boys for marriage. Nobody tells them, when you get married, this is what you should do. This is how you should treat your wife. This is how this is what you will need to do in the home. This is how you should treat your children. So he doesn't believe, even if he thinks, you know, someday that's going to happen, he probably thinks it's in the distance. It's in the future that just might never come. And so when he begins to sense it that, hey, this is going to happen, he becomes a bit apprehensive, you know. But with the help of maybe, you know, relatives, people around, he might be able to, you know, see it up. Now, also, the society, the environment that we live in also contributes a great deal to that for the men. The men are never under pressure by anyone to get married. It's always the female that is put under pressure to get married. They're telling the female, bring someone home, bring someone home, bring someone home. When are you going to bring someone home? Don't you walk in an establishment, bring somebody from the place, whoever the person might be. Even you will find even people from a wealthy family telling you that, look, bring the person who will take care of everything. And they are doing a lot of this today. And we can see the situation, how things are turning around and things are becoming so bad when it comes to marriage. They say, bring him home, we'll handle the marriage, we'll take care of the marriage, we'll do all of this, we'll set you guys up. You know, just bring somebody home. That's all we're asking you to do. And amazingly, you know, the amazing part of it is this. In that same family, there is a son in that family who is
unmarried,
old enough to get married and not married. And do you know, nobody is saying, when it comes to say, there are a lot of women out there, when is your time? Don't worry. Don't worry, it will happen. Then you get a good girl. Okay. You don't have the right to say anything.
Don't you look at it from another point of view? Sometimes, okay, I always look at it from the point of view that, okay, the men generally, okay, are looked at from, you know, they already, when, even though they're not married and they're home, okay, they're already doing some responsibilities, you understand? Maybe, and that's just my thought, maybe sometimes some parents will think that, you know what, if this man goes out now and gets married, the sense of responsibility, which he is already doing to the family, might be cut short a little bit, or actually cut out completely. And then one woman out there, or one will be the one to be the one in control. And then, so whatever he's doing in the home front right now, he won't be able to do that. Maybe that is one of the reasons why they don't push men out there to get married. You know, this brings me to my second question for you, which is the fact that, you see, in marriages, I mean, now we're looking at the men in the marriages. I use the word, there are so many myths that come with men in marriages. And that is one of the things I know a lot of people have asked me. Men are wired to be strong, okay? Which is good. But that doesn't mean that men don't have emotional capacities, you understand? Men cry. Men do cry. You understand? Men are vulnerable. So I ask this question. When there's a breakup in a marriage, you see most men, even though they're going through so much pain, they don't talk about it, so they can't be helped. Because they put up this front as if, you know, like they say in Africa, in Nigeria especially, you're a man. You just have to, you have to be a man. You're a man. So most of the times, these men don't show their emotion. And that is why sometimes you have some men that are broken. I use the word broken. They're just damaged. And they just walk around being okay. So so who handles it better in a breakup, the man or the in the marriage? How do men handle breakups when there's a problem?
Okay, fantastic. Let me first of all go back to what you said, you know, earlier on about one of the ways you see the reasons why men are not so crazy, or why the homes don't really make them want to get married or something, because they have responsibilities. Now, I will defy a bit, from that, because I work with families today, and I'm not just talking about families in Africa. I work with families outside of Africa as well. So it's a global problem we have. In families today, right, when it comes to all the children, you know, who are now adults, most of the men are not doing well. Most of the men. You find that females doing a lot better when it comes to being entrepreneurial, handling so many things out there, you know, in the marketplace and so on and so forth. But the women are doing a lot better. I give you instances. If there's going to be a marriage in the family, right, in the family, a sibling is getting married. Guess those who put money down the most, the daughters. The sons come and say, hey, I'm sure you know that, you know, I've not been paid, but I'm working on this project, it's this contract, and excuses come. When there is a parent in that family who's going to be 70, 80, whatever birthday that they think is worth celebrating, most of the men shy away when it comes to putting down phones. I'm telling you what is really going on in families today. Guess who puts down the money? The daughters in that home. The daughters in the family. They put money down. They put money down more for the occasion that you'll find any of their brothers or sibling does. Now, or do. When you find also there's a debt in the family, today, I'm talking about this time that we live in right now, you find out that most of the sons in the family don't do much. I'm telling you what I know, what I see, what I see by experience, and I'm talking about from a very wide view range. Most of these men don't put down, the sons in the family don't put down much. But you know, the females are very good at covering up. They make it look like we all did it. But if you go deep into it, you'll find out that most of the men didn't really put down anything. It was the females who put down something. Now, how did this begin to happen? How did we get to a place like this? We got to a place like this when, you know, in the family in those days, when we have sons, the sons get up, are not made properly to do their house chores and so on. And the females are at about 7, 8. She knows how to go to buy something in the supermarket. She knows, you know, a lot about finance. She knows how to get her balance what her balance is when she's bought something. She knows what you need to give her back as returns. She knows all of these things. She gets there at 8, 9, 10. She's already going to the market, and she's learning how to do a lot of things in the homes. Learning to go into the market and learning to do so many things in the home. Cooking, she knows how to buy things in the market. She knows how to put everything together and make it into food that you can eat. She has all of that. when the women now had the opportunity to step out there, guess what? Those same skills that they got in the homes, they took it out there, all right? And in the marketplace, they were able to set out, maybe when I say tentacles out there, and they began to have a lot of returns for their efforts, for the task that they put in everything. Because when a woman is going to do something, she's going to do it completely, totally. Her mind, her life is into it, and she can multitask. She can do all of these things. And that's what we're seeing happening right now. So most of the men are getting out there. Things are getting harder. And because we gave them the name man, but we didn't give them the skills that goes after that name, a lot of them are crashing today. But I will say this to you. I'm talking more about our generation, you and I. Because right now there's also a shift. There's a bit of shift where we have a situation where the females are going down as well now. They're not going to be, they're not necessarily as fantastic as the females of, you know, that had gone just by before them, before this next generation that we have at the moment. Most of them are not ready to learn anything. They're not ready to do much at home. So a lot of the females don't have skills. We have females who are getting married right now. When I'm talking about 30 years down, who are getting married right now, who can't cook. Majority of them don't know anything about doing anything in the homes, right? And one of the major things causing breakup in families today is the guy comes into a marriage. He comes into a marriage with the expectation that my wife will take charge of the home. My wife will handle this and handle that. I'm in a safe place. I'm in safe hands. Only for him to find out the wife doesn't know how to do anything at home. Now, she might be good at her job, but when it comes to coming back home, she's not good for anything. When it comes to coming back home, not even being able to take care of the children. Now, this guy, he goes through the shock of his life right now. And at the end of the day, he begins to wonder, hey, what's happening here? What is going on here? This is not what I expected to come to meet in marriage. Why am I meeting this? And that is causing a lot of breakup right now. And the girl tells, I'm sorry, this is just me. You can't accept me for where I am. You can't take me for the way I am. So this is just me. This is just me. This is just me. I'm not going to change for anybody. I mean, there's something wrong with me getting about 5 mates, watching over. And that is not what he was thinking about. So both of them have different expectations. Anyway, that is just to say to you that, look, we have had issues. We have had some shifts, you know, whereby the men can't really come today to say the reason why their parents don't want them to get married because they're doing very well. No, they're not doing very well. In the UK right now, 30-year-olds are returning back to go and live with their parents. 35-year-old guys are going back to live with their old parents right now as I speak with you. All of these things are happening all over the world. Where America is worse, where you find out that, you know, you have so many women who are actually taking care of their men because their men are not sitting up and doing the things they need to do. But I told you, the reason why this may just be happening is because of, you know, home training, which a lot of people don't even think is that important anymore. And home training is vital because it's going to go with you down for the rest of your life. The way you're brought up, you find out that the foundation you got at home is going to be what will save a lot of people out there in the future and face a lot of the crisis and chaos that the world has been plunged into at the moment right now. Now, you talk about men not being vulnerable. I mean, being vulnerable but not talking. You talk about men, I mean, relationships. Who gets the brunt by the time they get into, they're being attacked when it comes to divorce and all that? Of course, the men feel very bad. A lot of the men, you know, men, I've seen men come to me crying. I've seen men coming to me and begging me in these days that please help me save my marriage. You know, I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want my wife to go away. I'm doing this as a last resort. You know, I want my wife and myself to speak with you. I'm doing this as the last thing I can do right now, hoping that my marriage can still be saved. I see men doing that, you know, these days. But then you say that even when he breaks up, the man doesn't talk and yet he's going through hell. Yes, he's going through hell. And I'm telling you, if there's a word that is worse than hell, is going through that as well. But how did this happen where the men won't just open up? How did they get there? But let's go back still to the home, because we cannot separate what we are becoming from the home we're coming from. A lot of time we want to do that, but it doesn't work. Then that's why we now don't even understand where our problem really lies at the end of the day. Am I saying parents have not done a good job? I give kudos to all parents. I do give kudos to all parents. At the moment of this particular program, my last son is 25, you know, and he's going to be 26. My first son is 31, going to be 32. I have four sons, and all of them are in the workforce right now. So I can't come up and tell you that as parents, we haven't tried our best, the best we could. We always do our best. But sometimes we might need to do maybe we might need to learn some things and be open sometimes to say, look, I think as a parent, I just might need some help. Now, so I'll give you an instance. Let's assume this is Jerome and this is Jerome and Dave. And that is Lola over there. And so Jerome and Lola are both brother and sister. So now we're children and we're in the house. And now suddenly in the house, you and I see a rat. Now rat in the part of the world that I live in, you know, I don't think people are brought up with rats. Maybe in the villages and all that, but even then, it's not something that, you know, people have to live with it because they don't have a choice. Now, so we see a rat. So what happens? Immediately, you start to cry and you run to our mother, and our mother carries you and says, "Oh Lola, oh my." Lola, oh my Lola, oh my Kuchipu, oh dear, sorry. Then I want to jump on my dad or on my mother at the same time, and they say, shut up, don't do that. You're a boy, yeah, you're a boy. Go and match the rat. Go and match the rat. Go and step on the rat. Now.
This is very interesting because it brings me to sorry to cut you short, you are so right. Before we go on, I just want to remind my viewers that my listeners that this is still Real Issues with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan, and my wonderful guest is still Jerome Onifade. I think I'm having Onifade. Yeah. And I'm having a wonderful time with you. And you know what you just said now brings me to something. I remember my son. I think when it was between 14 and 15, and any little time, you know, any time, my husband would always say things like, no, you're a man, you can't do this, and my son said to me one day, what's really going on here, I've not even finished being a boy, and my dad wants me to be a man. Because, he was still a boy.
Yeah,
you know, he was still a boy, but they wanted him to be a man. So what are we saying? I think you are right in a way, because yes, our parents did a wonderful job of bringing most of us up. I totally agree with you with that. But again, I think without being wanting to be mean or that, maybe I would say that is the only thing they knew. Some of them did it wrongly. And that is why I would say, and that's what you are trying to tell me. That is why some men are wired that way, you know, not to give in to things. Yeah. Because I'm very sure even the guy with the rats, he is scared, but he can't show his vulnerability.
Yes, because he's scared. He can't. You're right about that. He's scared, but he can't do anything about it, because they've told him that he can't afford to do that. You know, he's so scared. Inside of him, he's afraid. So you know what happens? I'll tell you something that might blow your mind. Most men live with fear. Most men live with fear. I'm telling you. Fear of, am I going to make it? Is it going to be all right? Am I going to fail? Is my future going to be good? And I'm talking about even men that are handling great establishments, you know, who post wonderful quotes out there and make it look like, look, they're great, they're fantastic, they have their life under control. A lot of them don't have their life under control. They're living with so much fear.
Wow.
You know, they're living with fear of the failure and so many things because it would have been much easier. They can discuss it with you if they know that you will not look down on them. because they've been told they have to be they have to be strong. Okay, it's the same thing about if you and I fell into the gutter. We fell into the gutter and it hurts, and I'm hurting so much, and you are hurting, and we're even bleeding in our legs slightly. And then they will carry you. They'll put everything. Then I'm crying too. They'll say, "You're a boy. You're a boy. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Come on. You're strong. You don't cry. Your sister is okay. Your sister is okay to cry. She's a female. She's a girl. You are the one that should be taking care of her, even right now." And so the guy is now doing, you know, but because he's been told not to cry. Guess what? He's hurting so much. But he said, don't show your pain. Don't show your hurt. So a lot of men are in so much pain. And they're hurting badly. And they are told not to show it. Now, guess what? They've hidden this for too long.
And they don't,
they don't even know how to express it anymore.
Yeah.
When a man is not expressing it to you, he's not pretending. He doesn't know how to express it. So you come, you're brought back home, and the woman says, "How was your day?" The guy says, "Was okay."
Yeah. So it wasn't okay.
What do you mean it was okay? Can't you just say more than that? Every time you will say it was okay, it was okay. Is there nothing interesting about your day? And he's in a shock. He's saying, "What did I say wrong? You asked me how was my day, and I told you it was okay. What else? Is there something you want me to say that you are not saying? Okay, what is it that you would have preferred me to say to you?" Then, no, I'm not preferring to say anything. I'm just trying to start a conversation here. Can we communicate? We're married, we're a couple. We don't even talk. We don't even this, except when we are quarreling, when we're arguing about something. Can we just for once? The guy is looking, where is this coming from? You know? And the Bobby just left their in-laws' house. And the woman said, "I'm sorry about the way my sister spoke to you today. I noticed it. And I know that she was wrong. I really want to apologize on her behalf. I hope you're not taking it personal. Please, even if you do and you have a right to, please, I'm begging you, please don't. Can you tell me how you feel about it?" He says, "Well, it was nothing. I mean, that's okay." That's the way she understands it. But you know, he's hurting. He's really hurting about what the sister did to him, because perhaps that's the sister that he's been so kind to out of all the in-laws. You know, it's hurting, but he can't do it. And this is the reason why it's very easy for men to tell lies and not feel bad about it, because they have been groomed in lies. They say you are okay when you are not okay. That's a lie. You told me to lie. I'm hurting, but you say I shouldn't cry. That's a lie. I'm lying. I just saw it, right? I'm afraid of it. You told me not to be afraid, but that's a lie. You're telling me to lie. It's a lie. I'm afraid. So when the guy comes, and even if you catch him with your sister, if you catch him romancing your sister, and you say, "What is the meaning of this? Why did you ever do this? Why are you doing this?" So he says, "Do what?" He's going to talk to your sister and say, "Do what? What is your sister?" Then he's going to talk to your own sister that you saw him with. He say, "Do what?" And then talk to your sister and say, what is your sister talking about? Are you sure your sister is normal? What's she talking about?" Then he will turn back to you and say, "Do you think I'm crazy? You think I will ever go that low to touch your sister? Am I a pervert? Am I insane?" And then you now turn to your sister and say, "Mbo, what was it? Did I not see my brother him holding you?" And your sister will say, "I don't know," because now she's very confused. The way he spoke, the way he addressed it, you know, she says, "I don't know." Now, for him, it's not difficult. Guess what? As soon as he has left that place, left both of you more confused than ever, he's going to step out there and he's going to pick up his phone and say, "Ah, man, Charlie, if you see what happened today, my wife will catch me, man. But you know your guy now. You know your guy. Me, I come bold.
Yeah, I was smart.
A bone, yes, I was smart, man. A bone, you know, and he doesn't feel bad about it. You know why? That's not the way God wired him. That's the way we wired him in upbringing. That's not the way God wired him. God didn't wire him to be a liar. That's the way we wired him in upbringing. All the while we're telling him, we didn't mean any harm. Okay, we just wanted our son to be strong. Okay, so at the end of the day, you find out that men have more problems with identity crisis than females do. They have more problem with identity crisis than faith, because a lot of times they don't even know who they are. Because you have given them responsibilities they don't want. Given them responsibilities they don't want. Now, the father just died. He has three elder sisters, and he is the fourth born. And then he has two other sisters after that, or maybe more. And then you say, they don't walk to the first elder sister. They go to him, and they say, hey, now you are the head of the family. Now you are head of the family. So now you have to be. Did he tell anybody he wants to be the head of the family? Did he say he was interested? Is he competing for it or contesting for it like it was politics? It's okay being where he is. It's okay for the elder sister to be the head of the family and take responsibility. But so we give him a lot of responsibilities that he's not asking for. He never asks for them. We tell him, you have to be there. You have to be
there. And sometimes it's actually, I think you're very right. Sometimes, especially in the Yoruba culture, this Oluri Ebi thing, you know, men, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on them. You know, it's like, like you rightly said, you know, they have to stand up. I mean, I've seen somebody say to me, and I mean, this is the man that I know very well, and it made me think, you know, when, like you said, in the African culture, you see a man that does for his family, it does for his sisters, it does for his brothers, it does for the parents, does for everybody. And you know, at times he's human. He takes a back seat and he asks himself some questions. This is me. I'm just one person doing for all these people. Who does for me? All they give him is our respect. He needs more than respect. He needs more than respect. And you know, and that's what brings me to that question I want to ask you now.
Yeah.
What do men, I mean, you are a man, what do men really want in marriages? That is our topic. What do men really want in marriages? I know some men, like I said, this particular man I'm talking about, you know, he wants to be cared for. You understand? He wants to be cared for. He's been one, he doesn't mind caring for other people, but he too wants to be cared for. You understand? So what do men really want in marriages?
Yeah, okay, we might look at the fact that there are different types of men, you know, and what they want. Different types of men and what they want. Some men want security in their marriage. Some men want appreciation, you know, and all of that. Some men just want peace. But let's look at it generally, looking at gender and not personality types. Let's look at it generally, not when it comes to being the gender male, you know, and not different personality types. Because if we start on different personality types, we won't be able to finish on this program today. So let's just look at it as men. Now, a man, you know, wants a friend.
Okay?
A man is really looking for a friend, a person, a woman he can call my friend. A woman that is going to accept him. Now, when I say accept him, I'm not saying accept his irresponsibilities or accept anything that is contrary. No. A man is looking for a woman he can call a friend. And what does that mean? A woman who is going to be there for him and with him. A woman that he can take on the world, you know, he can look at both of them, take on the world together. A woman that he can be there for and also can be there for her too. Now, a lot of people may not know that because they say, well, these men, we don't even know what they want. We don't even know what they want. When they are there, they're like, they're not there. They're not this, they're not that. And I say, well, it depends. We might have to look at who we know to be his woman as well. You know, because even a guy who has been in a family where it's like a pressure cooker home and the father treated the mother so badly, when he gets married, deep within him, he wants something different. He wants peace. You know, he wants that peace. He will tell the woman everything that happened in his home, and he will tell the woman how he doesn't want that same thing to happen in his own home. He will tell her that from the very beginning. You know, and then he'll begin to watch the woman. Now, when the woman begins to learn what is called loyalty, you know, when she stands out to be quite loyal to him, he takes a second look at her and honestly begins to realize that I am home. You know,
yeah.
I am actually home. Yeah.
Home, yeah.
When he meets a woman who is very forgiven, you know, because all his life he has learned that once you do something wrong, you face the consequences. You know, you're going to have to face the consequences. When he meets a woman who is quite forgiven, I give you an instance. A man who goes out and is out there with different women and all sort of things, you think he doesn't know he's doing wrong? He does. And you'll be surprised to know. You'll be surprised to know that he's not even going out there. Most men who go out there today don't go out there because they think they have a bad wife at home. They don't go out there because they also think that they have a stupid woman at home so they can do whatever they like. No. By the time this cheating thing starts, you know, a lot of guys will tell you it was not something they prepared for. It was not even something they expected. The man carries a lot of load, a lot of things in his life, burdens that he's not able to share with so many people. Do you know that men, it's so pathetic that men, when they come together, because you will say, but he goes around with his friends, he's always laughing. When they're talking on the phone, they're laughing. Look, forget it. Study him. You will find out that there's nothing in all these things that he does with his friends. When most guys gather together, do you know, Lola, that they do not discuss intimate things about themselves? They do not discuss things that are really happening to them. They can discuss the business. They can discuss the nation and the state of the nation. They can discuss a lot of other things, opportunities out there. And that is why when they die, when men die, and the family starts to tell their friends what they have been going through, his friends are in a shock. His friends that he left behind in a shock. They say, oh my God, we never knew. He never told us this. We never knew he had that problem. We never knew he was going through that. And you know why they never knew? Because when all of them come together, they do not discuss themselves. They discuss everything outside of themselves. And that's where they're different from women. When women come together, they discuss themselves. Oh, you will know everything that's happening in a marriage. Don't worry. Even if she's new, she just joined the group, she will tell you everything. You will know everything that's going on here, going on there. You will know what's happening to her. You will know who scammed her. You will know who did this. You will know who did that. That's the woman. She talks about herself. The man does not talk about himself. They don't talk about themselves. You know, so at the end of the day, when he finds that woman who has been able to watch him and knows how to handle him, and men are not crazy like we think they are. They're not. It's just certain things here and there, certain gaps in their lives here and there that can be filled by that very good woman, by that very, very God-sent woman who. Because some women say, I've done this for you, I've done that for you, I've given you all this. When you look into the marriage, all this thing the woman is thinks she's done for him is just in her head. Because she's the one that complains a lot. Lord have mercy. She's always complaining. It makes his life miserable. This guy doesn't want to come back home anymore. He just wants to stay away because she keeps repeating everything that this guy is doing wrong. You think the guy doesn't know he's doing those things? You think he doesn't know that those things are wrong? You think he doesn't want a way out of those things? Who wouldn't want a way out of bondage? You tell me. You know that this what you're doing is wrong. You know, who wouldn't want to? But guess what happens? He finds a woman. First of all, I've said he wants a friend. And I say in that friend, he wants to know that he's secure, he's home. Then he wants a woman who's going to give him peace. Then he wants a woman who is very forgiven. That they might even say, oh, my foolish, oh, you're very foolish. Why do you keep forgiving this guy? Don't you know you are giving him that platform to continue messing around the way he's messing around, you know? Mm-hmm. But the woman they call foolish, just give them time. Give them time. The same woman that everybody thinks is foolish, who they don't know is wiser than them all. It's just a matter of time. Something will click And guess what? This guy comes back home and begins to worship her, adore her. You know the reason why? He feels, apart from God, nobody else forgives me like this woman does. This woman has loved me even when I was unlovable. I'm coming back home. And when he makes that decision, that is it. That's why you find some men, you know, the way they carry their wives. People don't, they think they're pretending. They are not. The woman has actually paid her dues.
Yeah, she's earned it.
Yes, and she's earned it. She's earned that word special in his life. And guess what?
That's
what
we never, ever
joke with him, with her again. You know?
No, that's the stage you get to. That's the stage you get to in marriage where they say, the woman has the man's mumu button. You know, they don't understand.
Exactly. Hey, you got it. You got it.
Some people will go to the extent of saying, "Oh, maybe she's using some jazz on him."
No, but you're right about what you're saying. You're very right about what you're saying. They would say she's using some jazz on him. They do not understand that she's a woman that is an individual. And you know, one of the things you must know about such women, they have a sound relationship with God. They have a sound relationship with God. They hear God and they obey him and they do what God says. Because most of the time, if you have to follow advice that come from mere men these days, you will lose everything. A lot of crazy counsel going on here and there over there. But if you find a woman who has found that God's at peace with him and is able to walk with this same God to bring our owner's band back to himself, come on, well, even that man knows, yes, I know, you paid your dues. Such, when a man comes back to his wife, guess the next thing that the man goes back to completely is God. I want you to begin to study it, do a study on it, and you will find out that I know what I'm talking about. Every time a man comes back to his wife, the next being he goes back to completely without pretending, is his God. Because the love of God, we're talking about love of God, love of God, love of God. And that's why when you look at the Bible now, I know there are a lot of Muslims also listening, and I want to believe that even in the Quran or the Hadiths, some of these things are also being said, you know, because I know that even in Islam, the man is asked to really, really care for his wife. Care for his wife, adore the wife. Now, you find out that, you know, it's been said that people say they love God, and they love God. But the man, their fellow man that they see, they are not able to love. But the God that they cannot see, they keep saying they love. Now, so for this man, he's found out one wonderful thing. He saw the love of God through the wife. The wife forgiving him when there was nothing fantastic about him. The wife still being there. You know some mistakes some women make. At the end of the day, sorry for those of you that don't speak Yoruba. Yoruba is my dialect. I love the language. There are some things you will say in Yoruba that you cannot indeed say in English, and it will be sweet. Mm-hmm. So that's why. But it's just because I respect you, my audience. Otherwise, I would have done half of this thing in Yoruba. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. Now, but what I'm trying to say is this: you find out that if the men stop cooking. The one they say, I'm going to show him, I'm going to punish him. But he cannot punish me without me showing him to stop cooking. But guess the wise woman. She goes on cooking. The days he says, I think I'm not hungry. He says, okay, but I also made some juice. Would you like that? So, but look, I just told you I'm not hungry. What part of that don't you understand? He says, okay, I'm sorry. I will probably put everything back in the freezer and then warm those I can warm and I will eat that. And then he goes away. Do you know what he's doing to this guy? He's sowing a seed of love. Do you know that that guy does not hate her? She's not the one the guy hates. Do you know who the guy hates?
Yeah, who?
No, you tell me. Who do you think the guy hates? If you get it, I will send to you a bottle, a cold bottle of drinking in South Africa. I'm in the Republic here, but I'll find a way of getting across to you.
So I think he ate his own self.
Exactly. You got it. You got it. So I have to look for a way of sending you a drink. It is himself that he hates. And
yeah,
this is because a lot of women feel. This is his life. He hates himself. He hates everything he's experiencing. He hates the betrayal he has faced in his life. He hates the disappointments that he has faced. He hates the fact that he comes from a family, but he cannot say, this is the support I've gotten from this family. You know, he might not even be asking for money from anybody, but just to say, this is my family. And this is what, even some families don't think much of their men. They look down on them. They think less of them. So they are hearing, they say, Shokurinye, is that a man? Shokurinye? What a Kurelokuri? You know, he's gone through all of that. And guess what? I mean, that means you call yourself a man, you can't do anything in this place, you can't do this, you can't do that. So what, he hates himself. And then when he begins to react to life, they will advise the woman and say, look, he's a very bad person. They will say he's got narcissistic tendencies. People have to think somebody has a narcissistic tendency, and people have to stop saying that rubbish. Can you live with a narcissist? Do you think a narcissist will live with you for too long? You can't
last with him for too long. He will kill you. I think that, you see, like you rightly said, I think sometimes it's always actually very good, like what you're doing right now, for people to have an index into things. And what I always say most of the time is, when you don't know what makes the other person tick, you understand, like we always say in the Yoruba adage, that when you've not seen another person's father's farm, you always think your father's farm is the biggest. You understand? And I think that, like you rightly said, because men generally do not voice out what they feel and how they feel, and you know, they've been indirectly touched to be a little bit quiet, so sometimes it can be misconstrued. You can get the wrong notion. I mean, if we can go on and on and on, and I would say we would never really be able to put a finger to it, but the bottom line is, for me, men definitely want some things in marriage, but because they don't voice these things out, it takes a very patient, a wise woman to be able to, you know, kind of calm down and, you know, be able to understand it. And I always say to people that once you get the hang of it, this guy becomes like a pawn in your hand. You can spin him around the way you want it. All you just need is to get the hang of it. You know, so I mean, Jerome, it's been very exciting having you on. I mean, I wish we could go on and on and on. Before we finally close, I mean, we're already done. But before, I mean, just give me your last word before we go. So that, I mean, anybody wanting to say to me, like I said, this is my special men's edition, and I can see me bringing you back on so many other topics, especially to do with relationships and men, because my focus, like I told you, is to bring about behavioral modification, especially of the situation we are right now. We need, as human beings in this century, to change our mindset and the way we look at things so we can actually move forward. You know, all this mindset about, men are difficult. As long as some women think, like you rightly said, as long as you cook, you respect, you do this, then a man is okay. There's more to it. Some men don't even need all that. They need just caring. They need just being loved. They need just nice words spoken to them, and they will give you the best of everything. So I mean, before we tune off and everything, what are your last words to
Lola? Looks our like you're going to bring Jerome back on this show, because you guys have expanded, exhausted all the time. Come on.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that. It's actually 1 minute. 1 minute. To, we only have one minute.
And you guys, so, you couldn't even take. Jerome talks so much, you couldn't even take a break, man.
I know, but even me, I was learning. I was learning from Jerome. By the time I finish this program now, I'm very sure I'll be an expert. So, Jerome, quickly, can you just round up for us before we just, you know?
Well, what I'll tell our women is that, what I'll tell our couples that are married, basically, is divorce is not one of the solutions to marital conflicts. Divorce is not one of the solutions to marital conflicts. So if you're having issues in your marriage right now, don't think like everybody's thinking right now, oh, that we're going to go for a divorce. No. You guys, you don't have to end your marriage yet. There are lots of other things that you can end in your marriage, but not your marriage. There's so many other things you can end, and so that you can start new things, better things that will make your marriage go forward. But don't let it be your marriage, because your marriage still has a lot of potential, you know, to have it work. So just talk to a counselor. That's why counselors are there. Talk to counselors, and I'm sure that when you look at things together, you'll be able to resolve a lot of things. Having said that, sometimes the divorce might be the only thing that is left to you. But like I said, don't do it until you have ended all the other things. Yes, that you need to end. Yes, and I'd like to say thank you to Freedom Nigeria Radio.
Thank all right, Jerome, don't worry. You know what I'm going to do for you? Can you hear me? You know what I'm going to do for you? Don't worry. There's a program I run on Life Radio 107.5 FM. It's called Understanding Men with Uncle T. I'll bring you on one of these days. I advise younger ladies, you know, exposing men and their devious devices, especially in relationships.
Right.
And when I tell you know, they tell me, my boyfriend doesn't pick my calls, he doesn't reply my text message. I say, you don't have a boyfriend any longer, he's moved on. they don't like it. You know, so sometimes they're scared. You know, I tell them, how do you know a man is cheating and all kinds of things? Anyway, no problem. I'm sure we'll get in contact with you and we can do that one of these Thursday evenings on Life Radio 107.5 FM. Thank God for technology. Everybody can be anywhere and the program can still run.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Jerome. Thank you, Lola. Today, I'm going to give you an extra invoice. You've overshot, you've overrun. But never mind, it's been an interesting edition. And for the first time, Lola was listening, not doing the talking, you know.
I'm telling you, I was quiet.
All right, before they run me out of this place, thank you very much, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Time now for Doctor's Round with Dr. Eji Ahmed, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in.